Hey guys, I'm Trent.
And I'm Garrett.
And we're Critically Awesome.
Action! Say what again! Say what again!
You're gonna see some serious shit.
I'll be back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Critically Awesome! Critically Awesome!
Welcome back, Critically Awesome crew. This is Season 3, Episode 9. Garrett and I had an awesome mid-season break. We are refreshed, relaxed, and ready to give you some awesome episodes. This week, we will be talking about our top 5 favorite movies to watch, and we will be joined by some of Garrett's D&D friends. So please give James, Curtis, Nicholas, Clark, and Josh Davis a big, critically awesome welcome.
Welcome, guys.
How we doing, guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good.
All right, do we actually have all
one? Yep. Yep, we have.
I send you guys' names as if they were separate.
Josh. Where's Davis?
Oh man. It's been a long time. It's been a long time, Trenton. It's been a long time. We're a little rusty. We gotta get back into it.
It's been a long time introducing guests, I'll tell you that much. But I just got off of a stream of doing Titanfall 2 Part 3 now. And I seem to be flying through that game a lot faster than I wanted to for this stream. But, you know, I'm actually looking around a little bit more. It just seems like the game is progressing faster than I thought it did the first time I played it, I guess. But
so before we kind of start here, just tell us a little about you guys, each other. Just kind of what you do, maybe what, I don't know.
All right.
James, want to start?
Yeah, I'll go first. James Curtis, I'm 28 years young, married, no kids, hit 4 years in September, I guess the 17th, because it is September, and I keep forgetting that. I'm the resident DM, love anime, watched just about everything from the past 10 years, and I like movies.
I got a bald guy that you would really like to talk to.
I'm sure.
His name is Brandon. All right, let's roll on into Mr. Nicholas. How are you today, sir? What do you do?
I'm doing A-okay. I'm a student at Arizona State University, majoring in philosophy. It's kind of James kind of took the words out of my mouth. I love anime. I love movies. I'm a huge book nerd. That's pretty straightforward for me.
Always trying to get the advantage in D&D.
Yeah, always
challenging my knowledge of the rules.
Not always.
All right, and
Josh.
What's up? I'm Josh. I obviously share a lot of the same hobbies as the other two gents. Movies, plenty of those. I've been playing D&D. I think it might just be because I'm a little bit older, but I've been playing D&D longer than anybody in this group here today. Not that I'm bragging. I don't have any kids, and I'm not married because I'm not done being happy yet in my life. But I do have dogs, and they're wonderful.
Get out!
I love you guys. I was just kidding.
Not even a girlfriend?
Oh, I mean, I got a girlfriend,
Rosie,
and that's as far as the titles go.
Long time girlfriend, right?
Yeah, just about 6 years. Coming up November.
Yeah, I think we're all in that boat.
Married 9 years, been with the wife for about 11 years almost.
You are a strong man.
Three kids. But yeah, all right. So let's see here. Let's give a shout out to our Patreons. We've got Mr. Sam. We have Melissa Talon and Sam. What was his last name? I have it on my... You don't have it wrote down, and that's what's disappointing.
No, I totally forgot about that part. I was just wanting to talk about our Hamilton review movie review on Patreon.
Well, anyways, we're supposed to give those guys a shout out. And his name is Jesus Saves. What is his name? All right, Garrett, go ahead and talk about our Hamilton review while I look that
all
up.
All right, guys. Well, for all you Patreon people, we put out a Hamilton movie review where Trenton, Melissa, and I, we just kind of go through and just talk about a lot of what we enjoyed about Hamilton, the play or movie slash play that came out on Disney Plus a little over about a month ago, right? I think, yeah, about a month ago. And you can get that, but you can listen to that by going to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/criticallyawesome. And it's for just $1, you can listen to that movie review. So definitely go do that. And if we get a lot of likes from that, maybe we'll start doing more movie reviews for Patreon. So like I said, go to patreon.com/criticallyawesome. And there, we have two tiers. We have a dollar tier, which is the awesome tier, and you just get a shout out on the next episode. Then there's the critically awesome tier, which is $4. You get a shout out, and you get to listen to new episodes before anyone else. I usually try to get that out by Friday or Saturday of the before the we come out on the, that next Wednesday. So that's definitely the best way to support your favorite critically awesome crew. Trenton, did you figure out his name? Sam
and Sam Frank.
Sam Frank. I wouldn't have guessed that. I can't remember.
He was. He was one of the guys who.
The Dungeon Dads.
You know, Dungeon Dad guys. That guy was awesome. And you know, one of the other Dungeon Dads said, "Hey, I'm going to be your Patreon supporter too, just so I can listen to that Hamilton review, and also to support you guys as best as I can." And I was like, "Hot dog."
Was that John or Thomas?
Yes, one of the two. I don't remember which one it was, but I know that he was like, "Hey, we're going to do it." I was like, "All right, cool. I'm waiting." So, Dungeon Dads.
Yeah, that's also a really good podcast if you enjoy D&D podcasts. They're just a bunch
of
dads.
Fun to talk to,
yeah, so. They're just a bunch of dads, and they are awesome. They do really great on their D&D, and I definitely highly recommend them.
So this time, I'm the one that's the oddball out with the Dungeons and Dragons guys because I'm the only one with kids. Last time, you
yeah,
were the only
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I was the only one out of, yeah, I was out of the loop on that one. I was not married, nor did I have kids.
All right. We're going to be changing that this month. The marriage part, anyways.
Yeah, definitely the marriage part.
Yeah, preemptive congratulations.
Oh, thank you. 19th. That 19th, that's when we're getting married.
Is it okay if I go up first and then you and I say our vows and then Sarah comes up?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I'll allow it. You think Sarah will allow it? Because she's not letting us sing Hamilton at your wedding either. So, well, that's what she thinks anyway.
Yeah, that's what she thinks.
Get enough liquid courage in me. I'll be singing Bon Jovi. Probably not.
Just about anything.
All right, Garrett, you also have a very important fundraiser that you is near and dear to your heart.
Yes, it is Pedal the Cause month this month because at the end of this month is when usually the event happens, but due to COVID, they canceled the true event, but they are still doing, people are still going out running, bicycling, whatever they were going to do for their raised money. So it's raising money for cancer research at Siteman Cancer Center in St. Louis. This is definitely very dear to my heart because my grandparents, who passed away a couple of years ago, were treated at Siteman Cancer Center, and they lived way longer than they actually were projected to when they first diagnosed with cancer. My aunt was treated there, and she overcame cancer, so that's even, you know, that's even more great thing to do. This is my third year doing it. Past 2 years, I did 66 miles on my bicycle. I'm still going to probably around do that unless I get to my goal, which is $600, and 100% of that will go to cancer research, which that's the most amazing thing for this. And if I get to $600, I am going to ride 100 miles. So I ask any listener, anyone who's listening, to go to our website, which is criticallyawesome.net. Go to support tab, and you can click the big green button that says donate on there, and that'll take you straight to my Pedal the Cause page, and that's where you can donate to my page, and that'll be greatly appreciated. And that's about it on that. Donations will go until October 30th, I do believe, or 31st, the end of October for sure.
Right on, right on, right on. All right, so for your one-stop shop for all things podcasts, all podcasts around the state of Missouri, head to podcastmode.com. There's roughly 50 podcasts on there right now, and it's a great way for all local podcasts to kind of get out there and get their name out. We've actually used them a few times for some of our guests that we have on our show, like the Solardians and Kyle Foshi. Those guys are pretty freaking sweet, and they all came from podcastmo.com. Now, if you're from out of Missouri, there are other podcasts .coms out there. There's Podcast USA. There's Podcast CA, I bet. You know, your state probably has their own podcast website so that you can check out all local podcasts from around your state. It's actually really, really cool. So let's go ahead and roll right on into our at-home recommendations. We'll go ahead and start with Mr. Josh over here. Looks like he's got some pretty extensive list going on. Josh, why don't you go ahead and start us off with your at-home recommendations?
Josh, before you start, we rate, we have a rating system here that we created. It's called the Critical Potato. The Critical Potato, okay?
Okay.
So you rate it between 1 and 100, 1 being the potato famine in Ireland, and then 100 is like a twice-baked potato with sour cream, bacon bits, and cheddar cheese on top. So,
I see.
You got to have the chives.
Chives, too. Correct. So that's how we rate it. It's the critical potato scale, so just so you know.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of pressure. But here we go.
I handle pressure very well, just saying.
I recommend to everyone that I talk to as often as I can the Venture Brothers television program. It's a cartoon. If you're not familiar with it, that's a mistake, and you should right that wrong in your life. Out of 100 critical potatoes, I would have to give it a 99.
Oh, shit.
Out of 100.
All right, I gotta check this out.
I love this show more than most things. You haven't seen this?
Negative Ghost Rider.
Wait, is it like a...
It's some of the best storytelling I've ever seen.
Wait, was it on late night Cartoon Network?
Oh, yeah.
Like it's that kind of it's that kind of like cartoon drawing kind of like, I think I know what it is. I know of
So I think, I believe the first season of, I think there are 7 out now, was like borrowed animations from Hanna-Barbera. So you have like Magilla Gorilla sprites that they've reskinned, and who's the Johnny Quest? So that there's a lot of like those tie-ins to those old school cartoons as well. It's very, it has that appeal very much too. It's all about villains and superheroes. It's awesome.
It's very early, like very early 2000s Cartoon Network is what it is.
Oh yeah, the golden era. Keeping the cartoon train going, I can't recommend enough Jackie Chan Adventures. I watched it religiously as a child growing up, and recently I saw that it was released in more digital formats, so I bought every season. And I know you can't find that on a streaming site right now, but I have watched the first 3 seasons in the past week and a half. So yeah, I think this show is just it's taking me back. It's a nostalgia trip for sure. But it's Jackie Chan. There's nothing wrong with that. It's only good.
I love that show as a kid, man. I watch that every morning before school or whatever. Like, I love that show. That was an awesome show.
That was a WB one, wasn't it?
Oh,
Saturday mornings.
Yes.
I mean, I have the Game Boy Advance game. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love that game.
One more thing.
One more thing. Exactly. And last on my list is this one's kind of a curveball. It is an animated show, so I think you see the trend there. But The Midnight Gospel is a show produced by made by Duncan Trussell, who he's been on Joe Rogan's podcast. He also has a podcast, Duncan Trussell Family Hour, which I really love. It's more like a spiritual kind of like meditation, hippie stuff. So if you're into that, check that out. But he made this show with Pendleton Ward of Adventure Time?
I think so, probably.
Yeah, so he does all the animation for this show that Duncan Trussell made. It's just it's got a really good cast of all these guest appearances. Duncan Trussell is a force. He shares deep innermost thoughts with you. I don't know. It's really humbling in a lot of ways, and it's really helped me this year dealing with isolation as well, being in these COVID times. It's kind of helped me feel more connected to the world in general and other people as well, even though we're all stuck in our own little caves. So I recommend that one as well if you're feeling lonely.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and it's very trippy looking too.
Oh yeah, it's super trippy.
I've heard lots of good things. That's a Netflix one, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you can catch that on Netflix for sure.
All right, Nick, you want to go?
Sure. Right now, if you're a HBO Max owner, the entire collection of Doctor Who is just on there now. Nice. For a long time, it was just like the first like 5 seasons of the reboot. It's if you're into sci-fi, fantasy, just meta everything, touches on any category without hesitation. It'll be right up your alley.
So it even has the original Doctor Who, like from the 60s?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Who's your favorite Doctor Who? Or your favorite Doctor?
I'd have to go with David Tennant.
Me,
honestly,
too.
It's I like a few of the classic Doctors, but yeah, David Tennant just brought a whole new meaning to the role.
I agree.
Yeah,
I watched it all the way up to the end of Matt Smith's character.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, I stopped watching it.
Yeah,
just because I couldn't really watch it anywhere. But
yeah.
So.
Yeah, I will say that after Matt Smith was Peter Capaldi. Peter Capaldi was a really good doctor. I know a lot of people kind of get turned off because after the reboot, there was a lot of younger actors and stuff that kind of cycled through, and then he's obviously older. But he brought a whole grounding kind of nature to the role.
Yeah, because David Tennant and Matt Smith are very wild in their character.
Oh, yeah.
Character portrayal of the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Garrett, why don't you go ahead and do your
do
game?
Mine?
James.
No, I'll do mine. It's all right. I'll do mine.
But James have one.
He does have some.
I do. I have a few.
We'll let him go first, and we'll do ours.
All right. All right. James, go ahead.
Sounds good. So I have to throw some anime in there just because that's what I watch most of the time if I'm not playing games or D&D. Demon Slayer, I believe it came out last year, 26 episodes, but it has the tragedy in there. It has the, you know, it's kind of like samurais fight demons, and just has it such a great, it's about a brother whose family gets attacked by demons, and his sister is turning into one, and he's trying to figure out how to save her. And like crazy anime plots, crazy sword fights, you know, beaten up beyond recollection, but still figures out how to win sort of deal. And I think the animation is what tops it for me, which really puts it above a lot of other anime I've seen recently. It's like Studio Ufotable, is I think how you say it. And they've just done such a good job animating that show. It's really pretty to look at.
The animation looks kind of like Yu-Gi-Oh! A little bit. Like, I'm looking it up a little, and it, like, the way he looks, it's kind of like Yu-Gi-Oh! With the big eyes. With, like, the way he looks, it just reminds me of Yu-Gi-Oh! For some reason.
I can see that, I guess. It's definitely an anime style is kind of similar, especially when you get to, like, the shonen anime. Like, it's just the style. But, yeah, it's definitely a good one.
It looks good, though.
It's worth a watch if you like action and sword fighting and crazy demons. It's good.
I have to give it a try. It's on Hulu, isn't it?
It is on Hulu. I just rewatched it. So, 26 episodes.
What critical potato scale would you put it on?
On the potato scale.
Potato.
If I rate it against other anime, I would put it at a 90.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out then.
Yeah, definitely up there. Outside of anime, if you haven't seen the Sherlock series, I think it's on Netflix, the one with Benedict Cumberbatch. And I forget.
Martin Freeman.
Yeah. He plays Watson. Such a good duo.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
They do so great. And yeah, good time. Episodes are a little long, so you kind of need to make sure you have some time if you plan on watching one all the way through. I think they average, definitely over 60 minutes.
They're like an hour and a half usually, or around there. Between an hour and an hour and a half. Yeah. But there's only like, what, four parts, and each part has like three or four episodes maybe, I think.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Still great. Like, worth the time if you have it. Last one, and I'm sure like most of you have already seen it, but The Mandalorian, like I wouldn't imagine why you wouldn't, but I put it back on there because the new season's coming out October 30th, so
yeah, buddy.
Refresh.
Can't wait for that one.
Those are mine.
Same.
All right. Wait. Cannot wait for The Mandalorian. All right. So, I started off with watching the Avatar, The Last Airbender on Netflix because it came out about a month or so ago, I think. Maybe a little sooner than that. But I give it a 95 critical potatoes. It still hits hard, just like it did when I watched it as a kid. It is an amazing storyline. The story arc of each character is amazing. I mean, they just did an amazing job in this TV show, I in my opinion for sure. I'm sure most of you guys probably agree with that assumption because the writing for it is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
So then I continued that with The Legend of Korra, which I have never actually have not watched this at all until about a couple weeks ago, which now I'm in season 3. And I was actually messaging these guys, James, Nick, and Josh. I was like, it gives me a Teen Titans feel where there is a lot of, there's always a different like different bad guy in each season, it seems like. Especially now that I'm in season 3, it is definitely that. Like, she'll overcome the bad guy and then move on to the next bad guy. And so that's what I've noticed with The Legend of Korra, but I think it's still pretty good. But I think the one episode I really liked about it was the episode where she learned about her past. Like, she went to the very first Avatar. I thought that was really cool to learn. The artwork on it was really cool too, because it was kind of like that little like a little puppet, like paper puppet kind of background kind of art, I thought, because it was a lot different than the other artwork that was for the whole episode. So I give that like an 85 Crow Potatoes because I haven't finished it yet, but so far I really like it. And I started watching The Great on Hulu, and this is about Peter the Terrible from Russia and Catherine the Great, who married Peter. And it kind of the whole season is about her trying to make a plan for a coup to overthrow her husband to make Russia better than it was. And it's really good. I gave it like an 87 Critical Potatoes, and I highly recommend it. It's on Hulu. They do say the F word a lot, so if you don't like that much, definitely probably not watch it. But it's real interesting. I definitely recommend it. And then I know Trenton's watched this too, which I'm pretty sure probably most of us have. The Umbrella Academy season 2. Season two is really good. Like, it took a lot of the points to get to where the very end of the season was just an amazing journey. Like, getting to see all the points come together and then see what would have caused the apocalypse again in 1963. So, you know, it's really cool. And then at the very end, oh man, I'm really interested to see what season 3 has in store. And I give that, huh?
Where do they go now?
I don't know. I mean, another apocalypse probably. I give that an 85 Critical Potatoes because it was a solid season. And I don't think there was really any complaints for me, but it was a good season for sure.
You mentioned Teen Titans, and that needs to come up somewhere, like the original Teen Titans, not the new one.
Yeah,
not the altered one.
That is true. My daughter's watched that new Teen Titans, and it's just painful to watch.
The ones where they have the big heads. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Where it's more like so a flat, it's like a flat cartoon style. Yeah.
It's just visually displeasing. And it's just sad because they make a lot of butt jokes, you know. And like
dumb.
When the original Teen Titans actually was like the Avatar, where it had an amazing storyline and story arc for each character.
The only issue I have is brought back the original Teen Titans and the new Teen Titans movie Go, like the new Teen Titans Go, and they ruined it too. And it made me sad.
That's really sad.
All right, Jordan, go ahead.
So I watched The Chronicles of Riddick, and it's one of those ones that are just, It's going to come back up, so I'll just talk about it later. I also have been watching The Legend of Korra.
Where are you at?
And I'm on season 4.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
Hell yeah, I am, bro. I've been watching that like nonstop.
I'm at where she just defeated the Red Lotus.
Yeah.
Try not spoilers.
Spoilers.
Well, that's not really a spoiler. It's kind of, but not really, because I didn't give you a context of what it is, so.
Listen, spoilers end after 6 months of something being out.
Okay.
That's like saying Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
What?
God, I haven't seen.
Exactly, see? Anyway.
Sacrilege.
But just like Garrett, I hadn't watched it until it came out on Netflix. And I was like, You know what? I love Avatar The Last Airbender. Like, I love it.
The cartoon. Let's be specific here. the movie was horrible. The movie was horrible.
Was it horrible? Or was it like, you know, we're just mad because they said Ung and not Aang?
No. Okay, so the... The one thing I really enjoyed, actually, about that whole movie is that they made the firebenders have to have a fire source next to them. Like, any of the bending elements, they had to have the element there.
That's true.
Now, in the cartoon, firebenders could be like airbenders and just do it willy-nilly without having a fire. But that
the only handicapped element was Earth, really.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. Because there's really nothing else you could pull from it, unless you had metal bending.
I mean, you could take a pocket full of sand or rocks around with you, though. Like, Katara has that little water jug all the time that she pulls
from.
Yeah,
but she can also do blood bending.
You have to be a sandbender in order to be able to bend the sand.
Yeah.
That's also one thing I found interesting in The Legend of Korra. They had a lot of these classes of the bending. So, like, you had, you know, waterbender, but then you had, you know, you had the blood, like, actual full-on bloodbenders who, like, could do it without even being the full moon. You had, like, lava benders. And then you had, metal benders. Yeah, you had metal benders as well. You know,
they can't bend metal. They can't bend platinum.
Platinum, because it's pure. It's purified more. Yeah.
Yeah. I give it Legend of Korra. I gave it 96 on the critical potato scale because it is primo. I love it. like I said, there's just so much going on in season four. So much conflict. And I think what I like, just like Garrett said, with Legend of Korra, there is a new bad guy every season, but she still has to fight off the demons of the previous bad guys each season, especially in season four. You see more character growth in Korra than you did with Aang, but you also learn a lot about Aang and all the other avatars in Legend of Korra as well. So it's not just Aang and his group of friends. It's Korra. And then you've got, I just thought about this. It's got a lot of Star Wars prequel vibes to it as well with all the political stuff that happens.
But now, doesn't Legend of Korra, it takes like 80 years past Aang. No, because it's 40 years past Aang, but then it's 40, because like Aang was about 40 or so and he disappeared or died or whatever. But then it's 40 years after that. I think.
Man, Aang didn't live very long.
No. From what I remember last time you said how old he was like 40-something years old, and that was it.
I want to figure out how Aang died.
I did too.
Like, am I going to find out in season four?
Maybe.
Never mind. You won't be able to because of reasons, and we're not going to spoil it just in case anybody hasn't watched The Legend of Korra. Still,
I'm not there yet.
Exactly. That's why I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, but what I did like about the Last Airbender is that you did have like a final goal of everything. Like he needed to defeat the Fire Lord, right? But here, like each episode, she has her own. Or each season, she has kind of her Mount Everest, I guess if you want to call it, or her Fire Lord. But it'd be nice if there was like a true goal at the very end that she's trying to achieve, which is probably world peace, I would say. But it's just something that I wish there was something there you could see. But
there is. I mean, it's her becoming the most powerful avatar. No, the most powerful avatar. She's done things that other avatars could never dream of doing in her short lifespan that she's done.
Yeah.
That she has. I mean, she has definitely become the most powerful avatar. She's the most spiritual avatar for sure.
That's fair. I haven't finished it, but I feel like Garrett was saying, Aang had this mission of ending the war. Why is Korra becoming powerful? Like, is that something I'll definitely see throughout? Like,
yes.
It seems like one city is like, you're getting strong to save one city, but...
Where are you at, James? You know?
I think on season 2.
Okay, yeah. Wait, keep going into it. You'll see a little bit more what we're talking about a little bit more, but yeah, we don't want to ruin it too much on for you. But I mean, yeah, she is a strong avatar because I mean, she could bend three elements at a very young age. I mean, we saw in the first episode.
Yeah.
So
literally her intro.
Yes. It's like, how you know your daughter's the avatar? Well, look, she can bend all three elements. So
you're gonna have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I gotta bring up one more thing.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned one bad movie adaptation. Do you guys remember the DBZ movie adaptation?
Yes, yes, I did.
Don't even get me started.
So bad.
Anime is hard. Anime is hard to go to live action, though, to be honest. Like,
not gonna lie,
you can make a bad live action movie. That wasn't a bad live action movie. That was a horrendous live action movie that took nothing from the core material, or almost nothing from the core material.
Besides, his name was Goku. That's about it.
Yeah.
Goku, yeah.
Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's probably the best live action adaptation.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mortal Kombat's up there.
Oh, shit. Cowabunga.
Maybe we'll have to talk about this another time. Like,
yeah, we'll, one or two. We'll that's, have to, a good that's a whole nother yes. Like cartoon to live action adaptation. That's a whole nother podcast. All right.
Django Unchained.
Django Unchained, huh?
Great movie.
Yep.
Jamie Foxx at his best. Quentin Tarantino, once again, at his best.
Yeah.
80 critical potatoes on that one. The Umbrella Academy, like you guys said, we're just going to wrap a nice little bow on top of it. 80 CP on that scale right there. All right, podcasts, books, comics, and streamers. I've been reading of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins, the author of the Hunger Games trilogy.
How is it?
It is fantastic.
Yeah? Is it worth reading?
Oh, yeah. It's such a great book. I pre-ordered it because I was like, listen, I'm a sucker for the Hunger Games, all things Hunger Games. I love it. And getting more on that, it just makes it even better. So it's set around the 10th Hunger Games. And if you look up the 10th Hunger Games, the Google is wrong about who wins the 10th Hunger Games. Because you'll find out reading the book, but
well, it probably doesn't want to give away the book is probably why.
Possibly, but it centers around Cornelius Snow at a young age and his rise to power and how he achieves everything. He's dirt poor because when the Capitol blew up District 13, that took away all of his family's fortune. But they are still trying to live as though they have that fortune and try to uphold all the good things that the Capitol does. And you see kind of a rebellious side of Cornelius Snow. And it makes you wonder how he got to where he is now in the 75th Hunger Games and what made him so bitter. At the same time, he really did revolutionize the games. And you can tell that just by this book right here. Fantastic. And then I am listening to Alexander Hamilton's biography.
Alexander Hamilton. And I still Hamilton.
Got 20 hours in that book to go.
I finished that.
Shut up. I don't have as much time as you do.
Okay, for all that I know, it's a 36-hour audiobook. Okay.
36. So I messed up. You know how I said I was going to do Aaron Burr next?
Yeah.
I messed up and I got George Washington's biography instead. I don't know why. I was just scrolling through. I was like, hey, look, George Washington, buy one credit. I was like, oh, wait, I need to get that other book that Garrett told me I needed to get. Buy one credit. Oh, I'm out of credits. I have to wait till next month to get Aaron Burr's biography. So I'm set for the next year on audiobooks.
Have you heard of the Libby app?
Yes, that's what I use. It's a library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be able to find it on that.
You do. Yeah, that's where I found the Hamilton, the book that I think Triton got, The Rivals Until Death, I'm guessing is what you got, Triton.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Washington's biographies on there too, but
it's on Audible. That's where I got it.
Yeah, you borrow the books instead of buy them, so you have to wait a little bit sometimes. But
oof, see, that's
it's free.
Yeah,
free.
But I'm impatient and I need it now.
So like Trenton, I listened to the Hamilton biography, 36 hours. Learned a lot about Alexander Hamilton that I did not know. So definitely recommend that.
Father without a father.
Yep. Who worked a lot harder. Anyways. And then also I read Rivals Until Death, or I'm reading Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, which talks about more of the rivalry that they had throughout their whole political career. It goes back to when they were in the war, the Revolutionary War, and then it goes into their political war that they had with each other. That's a really good book. I highly recommend it. I'm actually reading that physically. And then also I've been reading a lot of beekeeping books because I'm thinking about maybe getting bees.
Your chickens haven't even started hatching eggs yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a progression, I've noticed. You get chickens, you get chicken poop, which then you want to compost. You compost, then it makes you want to get vegetable garden, which vegetable garden makes you want to get bees because you want to get pollinators. So...
It's a progression.
It is a progression.
Can't wait till you have kids. just so you know, that first one is a lie. Okay, that first one. You're I know. Like, hey, I'm a king at being a parent. What are all these guys talking about? I can do this.
Hey, Trent. Then you're like, hey, I've been watching you. Have a second child? Trent, I've been watching you for 9 years. I know what it is.
Why don't we have a second child? That sounds like a great idea, honey. Let's do it. And that second child is a demon.
No, actually, your third one is, but that's besides the
Our
point.
Our third one is a big demon, but still. Second one, she's still... I love them to pieces. Don't get me wrong. I love them. They're great when they're asleep.
All right, James, do you have anything that you want to shout out
I can't there? Call myself a D&D player at this current point in history without talking about Critical Role. It's just kind of the D&D podcast to listen to. I don't think they're the best or anything, and there's a lot of other ones like Acquisition Incorporated and the C-Team are great, but that's Critical Role is the only one I keep up with just because the quality.
Critical Role is like way up here, like as far as voices, story. I mean, Matt Mercer is like a god in D&D.
Top tier. Yeah.
But
he's a 90, he's 100 on the critical potato.
Have you listened to
if we got an interview with Critical Role?
I tried like reaching out to like Sam Riegel and Liam O'Brien, but didn't hear anything. And Matt Mercer. Because nothing.
Whenever I'm playing video games, I get called Critical all the time, and people are like, "Oh my god, are you Critical Role?" And I was like, "Ha ha ha! No, I'm not that good. We're just a lowly little."
But if you're playing games, you're bound to hear one of their voices in it.
Yes,
like you will hear somebody's voice from Critical Role in the game.
You really need to listen to Dungeon Dads. Is what you need to listen to, James.
I will pick them up and start listening.
Ah!
Oh.
Ask.
Other than that, I kind of just put a game in there because it's a lot of reading and it's been such a good experience. There's a game called Disco Elysium. It is such an atmospheric. You play like this haggard detective who, it's the beginning of the game, so I'm not spoiling, but who drinks himself into amnesia. And you just spend the game. It's a very like point and click D&D-esque story where there's reading, there's some voice acting in it, and that's great. It creates the character so well, but then a lot of the rest of it is text, and you make choices, and every choice you make is a rolled dice. Like you roll 2d6, and that gauges on how well you perform the action. And it's such a cool dystopian future with all sorts of crazy lore in it. And it's fun piecing the world together. And the vague resemblance to our world makes you just want to keep finding out more about how this current place you're at has become the way it is. So good. I love it.
You also been reading that book for the new campaign that we're going to be doing here soon.
Curse of Strahd. It's from what everyone says the best module for players. I've learned DMs enjoy it, running it for their players. But as far as prep goes, it's another animal. But it's been fun. It's horror, creepy, scary vampires, werewolves, the whole deal. It'll be good.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Is that it, James? Is that all you got?
That's what I got.
All right. Nick at night.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
And we just got sued for $1 million. All
right. We don't have $1 million.
Yeah. Joke's on them, right? to piggyback on the D&D topic, if anyone's interested in learning the basics, a really good stream and YouTube channel to go to is the Dungeon Dudes. They they go through all the basics that you could ever want, just like start on their list and just keep going, because they'll any question that you have from reading the source books, they've covered it multiple times over. They even deal in homebrews and everything. They do stream their own game. Obviously it's hard to keep up with Critical Role, but you know, yeah, that's a great way to start if you're looking for it.
We'll definitely have to ditto that. Dungeon Dudes.
Yeah, definitely.
Than Dungeon Dads. But they are great. And like, if you're trying to learn D&D, watching videos like that, it just makes it so much easier. And then watching people play it too. That's kind of how I got back into D&D, was I just watched Critical Role. And then when I got the books and everything, I kind of had a basic understanding already. So if you're looking to get into D&D, go watch stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll have to look that up.
All right, so let's go ahead.
Josh, what's yours? I think Josh has.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, I want to recommend The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. It's this incredible book that I just stumbled across. It's a week ago, I think. Oh, my buddy recommended it to me. I've been listening to it on Audible. It's about 4.5 hours. It's really quick. Listen, Stephen Pressfield himself reads it, which I think helps, you know, having the author retell his own words that he put down. But it's it really, what does it focus on? It focuses on creative people trying to get over that hump, get over the writer's block, get past the resistance that's holding you back from actually doing the thing that you've been meaning to do. You know, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, salad. Tomorrow, clean the gutter. Tomorrow, I'll actually write that thing that I've been meaning to write. And it basically tells you to shut up, sit down, and do it. It's a great little listen. And then on the video game thing, I've been playing a lot of Escape from Tarkov lately, and I've been watching a lot of Aqua FPS, the streamer. And his YouTube videos, and I don't know, he's just an incredible personality, and he has a lot of fun doing what he does, and that's how I like to play video games instead of taking it super serious. Dr. Disrespect, if you're listening. You know, you just like to sit down and play video games and have fun.
Great. Now Dr. Disrespect's going to come onto our channel.
Hey, man.
Shit all bring over. It.
Nah, you can send him right to me.
That'd be funny, though.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. For all things movie and TV news, you can head on over to our Facebook page. I try to keep us up with all of our trailers and all the movie and TV news. Like recently, Chadwick Boseman dying of colon cancer. That hit hard.
Oh, man, that was surprising.
That was one of the ones that actually hit pretty hard. Like most of the celebrity deaths are just like, whatever. This one was like, oh, man.
It was such a surprise.
It was. And then come to find out he's had colon cancer for what?
4 years?
2016? Good Lord. That just hurt even worse.
It's kind of like Rob. It's like when Robin Williams died. Like
how much worse can 2020 get? And then it takes Chadwick Boseman.
Which means he was filming.
Yeah. That,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
There's
a
Black Panther 2, isn't there?
Yeah.
Coming out?
Yeah.
But in like 2023.
Insane.
And I don't think they were filming it because of Rona.
Oh, okay. But he would have been filming some of the Infinity War stuff.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, during Black Panther and Infinity War, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
Civil War. He found out about it when he was filming Civil War.
Yeah. So the whole time he was Black Panther, he was dealing with colon cancer.
Crazy. And he was still a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Definitely. He's a real life superhero. So, also on our Facebook page, you can check out our stream, which is another good way to help support our channel because we get stars through that. And that directly goes right to us and that helps get us going. So, right now I'm actually streaming Titanfall 2. And next, I'll probably be streaming some Red Dead Redemption 2, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That or Skyrim, I don't know. Both open-world games, and I'll probably flip off back and forth between the both of them because all of our followers wanted me to play those three games, and it ended up going down between Skyrim and Titanfall 2, and I was like, I'm making an executive decision, and I'm playing Titanfall 2. All right, right on in to our main topic. Our top five favorite movies. And what we'll do is we'll go ahead and list them off, starting from the lowest to, or from number five all the way to number one. And we'll go ahead and start with our guest. How about we start with Mr. Josh? What is your number five movie?
On my list, I had to put Young Frankenstein as my number five. Of all the Mel Brooks movies, this is one that I watched the most as a child and as an adult. Mm-hmm. I think very few movies can make me like deep guttural laugh as much as this one. And I don't know. I love it and everyone should see it. And if you haven't, then you're stupid.
I totally agree. That is an awesome movie.
Great.
One of the best Gene Wilder movies for sure.
I don't know. Saddles is like right up there.
And I think if you're comparing the two,
Young Frankenstein goes over
for me,
Saddles.
Oh yeah, it wins it every time.
Because Gene Wilder actually he wrote Young Frankenstein.
Well, what I like about with Gene Wilder as an actor in general is he doesn't always have to steal the spotlight. He doesn't. Yeah. He's really good about sharing the screen time and making sure that other people get their time in the spotlight, and it's so prevalent in all of his movies, and it's great. So
he'd probably be really good at D&D, you know, with the amount he listens and shares and gives to the other actors, you know.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you what, you know, that's one thing good players have. They can share the spotlight.
All right, how about you, Nick? What's your number five?
I put my number five as Infinity War. I'm a sucker for conclusions. And if you put the last two decades together, that's the biggest conclusion of film. Mm-hmm. Like, just the climax.
Infinity War kind of left you on a cliffhanger. Endgame is the one that had the biggest conclusion. It's, unless you're putting the two together.
It's kind of a two-parter.
I'm putting the two together.
It's kind of a two-parter.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you have to put the two together.
Yeah, it's a great bookend for a series of like 20-something movies over a decade long. It's definitely a good bookend for sure.
Yeah, and it paid off in so many different ways for comic book fans. Just the little details from Professor Hulk to, you know, on your left, right? Like, you can't complain about that.
All right, Garrett, what's your number five?
Well, now that you just put in something and it kind of made me think, but I'm gonna go with what I know. Put.
I was looking at Captain Phasma here, and that's why.
I'm gonna go with though. Underworld is my number five, the first one. It's a movie that I can anytime it's on, I will sit down and watch. I own all of the Underworld series, and those are all pretty good movies. Plus, Kate Beckinsale is pretty good looking in it, so that's always a positive.
Hell yeah, brother!
But yeah, that's my number five, Underworld for sure.
Mine is Star Wars, and I'm not talking just one movie. It's
the whole kit and caboodle.
You can't watch just one Star Wars. I mean, you can, but you sit down with your best bro and you say, it's trilogy time. And then you're like, all right, we're done with the trilogies. It's trilogy number two time, which is the prequels. You're like, all right, that was a train wreck. Let's sit down and watch the third trilogy. And then you watch it, and at the very end, you're just like, this beautiful series, well-written, sums up our childhood and makes you want to cry at the very end of The Rise of Skywalker. I don't know about you guys. That's how I felt about Rise of Skywalker. It's one of my favorites. And I know I'm going to lose a lot of listeners. That's probably why we don't have anybody listening to us anymore.
I really need to watch it again, honestly. I haven't seen it since I've seen it in theaters.
I think I'm in the same boat. I need to watch it again.
Yeah, I do too.
Listen, like Kylo Ren's just his character progression just through that last part of the series. Oh, I love it because, and especially just in that movie alone, because he goes from mad, crazy, and just wants to rule the world to, you know, he's a Jedi again and he's helping Rey defeat Emperor Palpatine. And then, I loved it. The only thing I didn't really love about the sequel trilogy. It's the way that Captain Phasma died. Freaking Finn. Finn was... He had redemption in the last movie, and I think that's another reason why I really liked it. Because Finn had some kind of redemption.
That's actually the nicest thing that you have ever said about Finn.
I hate Finn. I hate him as a character. He was poorly written. He had so much potential. So much potential than Rian Johnson's shit on the Star Wars series. Because he was supposed to be a Jedi.
I believe it. The way they set him up in the first one.
It was supposed to happen in The Last Jedi. He was supposed to be a Jedi, and then Rian Johnson shit on it all. Sorry, all right, I'm so mad at Rian Johnson.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
We're already down it. Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll tell you my number five.
Yes.
Just because it's James. It's far off the course. It's okay.
You. I'm so sorry. Your name is so sorry. Right.
It's a very new movie. I picked Onward for my number five. just because it kind of like epitomizes where my life is at the current point in time. Not all the sad stuff, because there's a lot of sad stuff in it. I sobbed like a baby at the end of it. But the D&D, the references, the like hanging out with your bros, sort of like current point where we're at. It was just like, I've watched it multiple times since it came out on Disney Plus. It's just
Plus, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland together is amazing. And I agree. Upward is just all around. It's definitely Onward. A dad movie for sure. Or Upward.
He's thinking of the one.
What?
He's thinking of what it looked like in Zootopia. In Zootopia, it was called Upward.
What?
If you look, whenever
because you're talking about Onward, right? Yeah, James.
Yeah, but you called it Upward.
No, I said Onward.
No, you said Upward.
Said Upward.
I swear, I said Onward.
But in Zootopia, when she's looking through all the pirated DVDs with Weaselton, it shows Moana.
It's Weaselton.
And it shows up, and then it does show Upward. And then Frozen and all the like upcoming movies that Disney had that nobody really knew about. One of them was Upward, but it was actually supposed to be Onward, or it was about Onward in the Zootopia
world. It's a cool Easter egg.
Yeah, I love Easter eggs. I look for them on the daily. Let's see here, Mr. Josh, number four.
Okay, I put The Great Escape from 1963. It was my very first exposure to Steve McQueen. I'm sure most people who've watched movies would say Bullet, which is a great, probably the very first car chase movie. I'm not entirely certain on that. But The Great Escape takes place during World War II. It's a camp run by Nazis. It's where they take all the POWs from the British, the Irish, the Scottish, the Australian, the Americans. Steve McQueen, that's where he fits in there. And they plot a great escape. It's incredible. It's my favorite war movie ever made. The cast is so endearing. You fall in love with every single, well, not the Nazis, but all the rest of them. You fall in love with all those guys as they're trying to, you know, figure out a way to get away and not, you know, get caught. It's awesome.
All right. Mr.
I've never
Nick,
actually
number
seen
four.
That movie before.
Oh, well, to stay on the World War II train, The Pianist is my number four. The Pianist.
Can you spell that for
I heard
us,
what
please?
You heard.
The Pianist.
Can we get that in a sentence, please?
I'm not even going to do that. Yeah, it just a great, great like depiction of what it would take for a Jew during World War II to hide, really, and any minority during that period. But like specifically, it was The Pianist, whatnot. I can't think of a better musical score for a movie of its type. And that's saying a lot, because there are a lot of good scores for this movie, for this type of movie. But I can't ever keep from getting emotional towards the end of this movie. And that's why it's on my list.
I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I mean, it's 2002.
Yeah. I won't give it away for anyone that wants to watch it, but the last few scenes of the movie are given the circumstances, humanity at its finest. So
definitely have to look into that.
Cool.
All right. I guess I'll go.
Most of them.
My number four is Ghostbusters, the first one. That anytime it's on the TV, man, I'll sit down and watch it. You know, just the four guys in this movie, just they sell it I don't have to really even describe it because it's Ghostbusters, man. I mean, that is, it's one of the movies I remember a lot from my childhood watching, and I still watch it.
We didn't forget about Josh, James, did we?
Nope, not yet. It's
got
skipped. No, it's number four. We're at number four right now. So
4-0. Awesome, awesome. Ghostbusters, yes, great movie.
I'll go.
Yeah, go, James.
Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Ooh,
this is definitely more of a like memory choice for me because like I remember going to the movie theaters at midnight with my dad and my brother and waiting in line to go see this movie as a kid. And then just like getting the DVD and watching it over and over and over. And like the Battle of Helm's Deep is like pretty badass.
Do you remember getting to go watch a movie at midnight for opening night instead of like
so cool
Thursday night, Thursday, like at 7 o'clock now when you can go watch it?
So, James, I also have a very vivid memory of when The Two Towers came out. My mother punished me.
Oh no!
Great. So she did not only just punish me, but she punished my father as well. So because I didn't get good enough grade, I was not allowed to watch The Lord of the Rings: The Two Towers in the theaters. I had to wait until it came home on VHS.
Oh man!
And I'm gonna talk about wanting to cry. My mom's like, "Serves you right, doesn't it?" And she looked at my dad. She's like, maybe you should have helped him a little bit more. And I was like, don't punish the old man for my mistakes.
Yeah.
My dad had recently admitted to me. He's like, son, I went and saw it anyways. And I said, fuck it. Not my fault you got shitty grades. And I was like, wow, dad, I thought we were a team. He's like, I'm not missing out on that. But yeah, I've actually got
that's crazy.
A beard right here, too.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
So much happened in that second one. That was just epic.
So much happened in that second one that didn't even get filmed.
Yeah, yeah. Those books are amazing.
They are great. Like when the Rona hit, I was able to listen to more books because I was working in custodial and I was just cleaning and we didn't have any students on campus, which was great. So I got to listen to all of the Lord of the Rings in a matter of a week because that's all I did was listen to audiobooks, and it was great. I was like, well, crap, I'm already done with the Lord of the Rings. What's next? I'll listen to The Hobbit. And still, so much. They had three movies to do one small book.
They even added stuff because the White Orc was not even really part of The Hobbit.
We'll get more into the Lord of the Rings books come later because there's a lot that I want to talk about on somebody else's number one movie. No spoilers. Anyways, my number four is the Back to the Future trilogy. And if I had to, gun to my head, choose the best one, would probably be number two.
What?
What?
I can't even believe what I just heard with my ears.
Refresh me. What's number two's plot?
Number two is when he goes.
They go to the future.
Yeah, that's when they go to the future.
The title of the movie.
Yeah.
They go back to the future.
Okay,
no,
that's what I thought.
He went to the future. Not back
Doc
to the future.
Doc went back to the future. He specifically said, Morty, I need you to go back with me. Back where, Doc? Back to the future! And then he says it at the beginning of number two. Just saying.
No, isn't that? Yeah, that's when they go to the future and then go back to the past.
Yes. And I love that movie because that's the one that's if I was to have to sit down and watch one, number two is the one that I'd sit there and watch because before 2015, I was like, this is what we got to look forward to. I mean, self-tying shoes, hoverboards, pizza that automatically hydrates
the Cubs won the World Series though in 2015. So
do we really have to remember that part of the whole like
unfortunately
I would have freaked out if it was over Miami. That would have been great. MLB should have rigged the system that one year.
I don't know if Miami's good enough to follow that.
No.
Yeah, even rigged. I don't know.
I don't even think Miami could beat Springfield Cardinals. I'm just saying. That's the minor league team down
here. But they have a really nice fish tank.
So does Miami Dolphins, but you know.
Yeah. At least they have a dolphin.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on now to number three. Mr. Josh, what's your number three?
I picked The Fall, which is an incredible story. Lee Pace is in it. It's a great movie about this guy. He's a stunt actor in the silent movie era, and he gets hurt, and he gets stuck in this hospital. And while he's there, there's also this little girl who got hurt working in an orange field orchard. That's the word. And then they're trapped in this hospital together. So to while away the time, Lee Pace is laid up with his legs broken, and he just makes up this story to tell this little girl. And they filmed it. It took 4 years to film. They went all over the world for it. It cost way too much money. They didn't ever think it was going to come out. And then they just like made it happen right at the end. And it's 2 hours of beautiful, beautiful cinematography, incredible story. The little girl is, when she cries, you have to cry because you're so empathetic to her the entire time. It's one of those. At the end, I always bawl. I'm always sobbing like a little tiny child.
Cry for me. Sorry. Nick, number three.
I'll have to go with the 1995 film Seven.
It's a good
with
one.
Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, and Kevin Spacey before he was bad.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Come on.
Yes. But do what?
I was going to say, is that the one where they're assassins?
No.
I can't remember one.
That movie. I'm sorry.
I think that's like Lucky Number 11 is what you're thinking of.
Yeah. That's a good one too, but
sorry for
Seven's about two detectives, Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt, who start putting these murders together that follow the arc of the seven deadly sins, which is not a spoiler at all because it's literally in your face the whole time. But you know, there's a massive twist that's known as what's in the box.
And what's in the box?
Well, that's all I'll say on that. But yeah, the suspense in this movie, the detective story is just so engaging for me. I can watch if I'm in the mood for any sort of detective work, thriller, suspenseful. This is just my go-to.
I've never actually seen this movie.
You should.
Alright, Mr. James is next.
Okay, for my third spot, I picked Saving Private Ryan. I can't tell you how many times I watched it. So good. I just like the cast. Like, I went back and looked today. Vin Diesel is in that movie.
Yes, sir.
He was like a baby in that movie.
He's in like the very beginning, I think.
Yeah, Matt Damon's in it too. Tom Hanks was just so good. World War II. And it just, I can't remember exactly why I loved it so much. But, I mean, you're a boy and it's soldiers fighting Nazis. So what's not to love?
It was great.
Plus that D-Day scene is absolute. It's just phenomenal. Like, the way it's filmed. That too.
Like the end, they're trying to protect that bridge, and then Tom Hanks is just sitting there and he's just shooting his gun at this tank.
Yes.
And it's P-51 Mustang. Zoom in. Oh. P-51 is my favorite plane. And so, like, watching that just right in, you're just like, oh, yes!
During that fight, I remember, still remember the, where he fights the Nazi hand-to-hand.
And, like, the knife.
Pushing the knife into him, and it's just, like, shaking. I was just like, oh my gosh.
He doesn't know how to freaking stand up and shoot somebody.
Wasn't there a guy who, like, wouldn't fight?
Ump him.
He was,
yeah. Ump him. Even as a kid, I was like, this dude's a little... So I'm censoring myself, but, you know, I was like, I could take that guy. And I was like 10, so.
Right.
I'm not.
I like it. I like it. Garrett, number three.
Trace for me is Back to the Future, and it's the first one.
That's right.
The correct one.
See, that seems a little odd to me.
And the real reason I really like this too, because every time I see it, I always love the Johnny Be Good scene when he's at the under the sea, the enchantment under the sea dance.
Sorry, wrong one.
And he just goes into it, and also he starts doing like Van Halen, which is just awesome, you know. And it just, the first movie could have been. I mean, that's why I like it too, is because it's a standalone movie too. It could be literally a standalone movie. It doesn't need anything else to work on it, you know. So, that's my third movie. I really love Back to the Future. I have all three, but the first one is the one I always enjoy watching.
My number three is the Lord of the Rings trilogy, because once again, just like Star Wars and, Back to the Future, you can't watch just one. And honestly, I'm going to even tie in the Hobbit trilogy into that. Well, I don't know. I don't know if
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far.
The Hobbit, I like it a lot. I do. And I don't want to say I like it more than the books, but there's a lot of really good storylines that, you know, he added in there that made it, you know, that much more interesting. But gun to my head, best Lord of the Rings would be the Return of the King. I love that movie. There's so much untapped potential in that movie. Anyway, number two, Mr. Josh.
Make it so, number two.
Studio Ghibli's Princess Mononoke. Now, I knew I was going to put a Ghibli movie on this list. I didn't exactly know which one, but this is my favorite one by far after days of deliberation and long nights sweating, drinking scotch, trying to really hammer this one down. Princess Mononoke, I think, takes the cake. It's everything that Ghibli does right. It's a more adult tone compared to some of their other movies that you might be more familiar with, like My Neighbor Totoro or Spirited Away. This struggle that Hayao Miyazaki loves to depict between man and nature is never more prevalent than in Princess Mononoke, and it's got one of the best soundtracks of all of the Ghibli movies. So it was a really, really tough call to make, but yeah, I wanted to make that my number one, but I couldn't. It fell at number two. That's it. That's all I got.
I have to say, thank you for putting one in your top five. My whole list would have been anime movies, even in the top 10, if I had let it happen. So I just chose for, like, you know, live action and a couple of the, like, Disney animated. But I think I would have chosen Howl's Moving Castle. But
oh, yeah. That one's really good.
It's so good, too.
Mr. Nick, number two.
Bringing down the mood a little bit. Going back to a very story-based movie, Schindler's List. Schindler's List, if you don't know, is about a Polish man named Oscar Schindler, who is given credit for saving about 1,200 Jews in Poland by employing them. And it follows that track. The thing that makes this movie stand out among really all other World War II movies is it's at first glance, it looks like it's a black and white movie. It's not a black and white movie. It's a stylized movie that has one key element of a red coat or pink, depending on your color hue, of a little child. And the use of that one color in the entire movie shows you just how powerful, how powerfully devastating that time period was. And for that, I can't leave it off.
That's a really good long movie for one. It's like three yes. something hour movie. It's actually a double sided like DVD.
Yeah.
But that's yeah. that's a really it's another really good Steven Spielberg movie.
Yes.
Because he also directed Saving Private Ryan as well. but yeah, like the scene that really hit the most on that movie was the very end where they were all putting the rocks or whatever on the grave of Schindler, I think. I think that's what yeah. it is. Yeah. And I like believe so. All the ancestors of the people that he saved. That's like a very big like moment in that movie, I think. Like it just sums up the whole thing. That how much people he actually saved in reality. Like he only saved 1,200 Jews, but then in thinking about that, he saved generations of people
mm-hmm.
that are alive now because of that.
Well, not only that, it's like there's people that have come out that we've found out throughout history that helped during that time, but nobody knew about it at the time. It just goes to show that like even during that time period, people could understand that he was helping them.
Mm-hmm, for sure. James.
My number two, Gladiator.
Ooh.
Starring Russell Crowe.
Oh yeah.
That was just like badass guy, man crush for a very long time. Got replaced by Hugh Jackman once the Wolverine movies started coming out. But still there. And he's such a talented actor. I don't know. Like, I remember watching that movie and just being like, I want to be like that guy. Respected by powerful people. you know, leader. It's just good movie. I'll put that there. And the villain. Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Oh yeah, he's the Caesar. Yeah, the Caesar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of creepy too in that one because like he's very obsessed with his sister, or something like that.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Time period.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. It's right. accurate. It's accurate.
Yeah, very.
My number two is Young Frankenstein, which was Josh's fifth. This movie, I didn't originally watch this when I was a kid. I watched it probably about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago was when I first saw this movie. And just like Josh said, this movie just gets you laughing every time. The humor in it is very subtle, but it is so strong. Like, and like we talked about earlier, Gene Wilder, he wrote Young Frankenstein, and I think he did an amazing job with it. So that's my number two. Triton, what's your number two?
My number two is the one, the only Princess Bride. Now, what other movie in the world can give you a medieval movie, a love story, a comedy, an action, and a thriller all at the same time? The Princess Bride can. It's the best of everything. And it is honestly, probably should have been my number one. I got really close. I had to bump it down because my number one is a better one. But Princess Bride is just, it's just one of the best. Oh my gosh. It's still being quoted to this day, every all the time, even in quarantine. They remade The Princess Bride in quarantine using the Tic Tacs or whatever they're called.
You literally did it on purpose. You know what it's called.
Okay, old man. But honestly, like, I love The Princess Bride. It's one of those things that just makes you feel good, makes you laugh, makes you just, you know, what is this, another rant or what's his name? Anyways, he's like, is this another kissing book? And then he ends up, okay, kissing is okay. Just a little bit though. You know, it puts you in the mindset of, okay, I'm feeling sick today. I want to watch a good feel good movie and I want to sit down. I want to have grandpa read me a story.
As you wish. Have you seen? Have any of you guys seen The Quest for Camelot?
The animated movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, when maybe when it came out.
So Sarah and I, it's actually on Netflix. Sarah and I watched it.
Oh, is it really?
It has the actor who plays Wesley, and the character he plays is named Garrett.
Oh, nice. Cary Elwes, right?
Because his name is Garrett.
That's great.
And he's blind and everything. Yeah, it's and
all right.
And the music in it's so corny, but anyways, number one.
All right. It's time for the moment we've all been waiting for. Our number one movie of all time, or at least of 2020. We're gonna start with Mr. Josh. What is your number one movie?
This has been my number one movie for 20 years, I think, and it hasn't moved out of that spot the entire time. That movie is Blade Runner, the original, not 2049. And I must make this distinction. The director's cut, Ridley Scott, who did Gladiator, he did this movie back in 1982, and his cut of Blade Runner is obviously, if you've ever watched any of the other versions, it's the best version of Blade Runner. It's Harrison Ford at his finest, back right around the same time as Empire Strikes Back, I think, came out the year before. You guys are familiar with Empire Strikes Back, I'm sure.
What's that?
What's that? It's a Star Trek movie, I think. No, that can't be right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, okay.
The Starfight movie?
That's the Starfighter, yeah. Blade Runner is... It's actually set in 2019, so we just kind of went past all that. It's a very much like a 2015 Back to the Future 2 type situation. We don't have flying cars, and they did in this one. But Harrison Ford is a detective, so it plays to the Seven, the detective story as well, as Seven does. And he's charged with hunting down clones that have escaped, because clones are property, of course. And he's got to hunt them down, and the titular villain of this movie is portrayed by Rutger Hauer, who I think we just lost this past year. I think he's gone now. But it's, I don't know. It's got everything that you need in a detective movie. It's got everything you need in a sci-fi movie. It asks these big questions about consciousness and, like, what does it even mean to be awake and alive in these moments and every moment? And Harrison Ford's in it. And they're flying cars. I don't know. It's great.
Hey,
it's wonderful.
We know what we still have something to look forward to, though. Mad Max went in 2020, so you know we have that look to forward to as well. So it took place.
Really want to look forward to that.
I'm just saying.
That's true.
Anyway, Mr. Nick, what is your number one favorite movie?
Could have easily put these as my top three, but I decided to just pick one of them. Lord of the Rings Return of the King is, getting back to the endings I love, is one of the best endings in all of movies. These movies, like, started my nerdom. It's just plain and simple there. They basically shaped the way I view entertainment. And I if I could, if I had the time, I would watch these every weekend. All three of them, just on repeat, every single day. There's the actors in this are just on point. The ending of Gollum is just satisfying, to say it simply. Seeing him reach for the ring and it just out of his grasp. It's just a satisfying movie in its entirety.
I wish they could have made that movie into a three-part series.
Yeah, I do too.
There's so much left undone, and I don't like the way that Sauron died in the movies versus the books. I mean, it's close, but it's not as satisfying because he doesn't do it after getting defeated by the hobbits.
Mm-hmm.
Which, oh man, that was just so much. Like, Merry being like this badass general in defeating what was left of Sauron's army. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorites as well. But they stopped in the middle of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it's for people that have read the books, it's a common problem that people have with it. I think that it's, despite that, if we had the entirety of the book into movies, it would be even better. There would be no shot in my mind for like what the top series was.
Has anyone seen Tolkien at all? Tolkien?
No, I haven't watched it.
That one, it's pretty interesting. Sarah and I went and watched it when it came out in the theaters. Cause she's a big Lord of the Rings fan too.
Yeah. I'm about to start the Silmarillion, which is Tolkien's book that was finished by his son and one other person after he died.
I've got it on audiobook, but it's hard to listen to. Very hard to listen to.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to listen to it, but I'm like neck deep in a bunch of history books right now. So
yeah.
All right. Mr. James, don't forget. Number one.
All right. My number one is A Knight's Tale. Along the same vein as you were saying, Trent, for A Princess Bride, it's medieval, it's action, it's romance, it's like
comedy.
Suspense, comedy. It just, I was very, like, very sad when I found out Heath Ledger had died, because I honestly think he is one of my all-time favorite actors, and I would still be watching it. Like, I would probably love every movie he came out with after that. But like that movie, just like, I mean, not just Heath Ledger, what's his name?
Ben Tunick?
Is that his name? He plays Geoffrey Chaucer.
Oh, Paul Bettany?
Yeah, Bettany did it. And he's so hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's always there. It's on Netflix now, and I can watch it over and over and over for many reasons. Yeah, when I was originally thinking of like... Sorry, go ahead.
You and my wife would get along quite a bit. She overplayed that movie for me.
That's fair. If you could over.
Well, my wife gets in these weird moods where she will play one movie on repeat for a week.
So do you.
And so I have to watch that movie.
Yes, you do. That way. Who watched? For a lot of things, you watch over and over again. And not because you're kids.
How I Met Your Mother and The Office are two different things. one of them is nine. And that's like 8 to 9 years of television. Thank you, my good sir.
That you watch multiple times enough to where you watched all of the whole series like 3 or 4 times now.
I just have to say one more thing.
One more thing.
When I was doing my list, I realized that, like, I was thinking top 10 and then narrow it down. And I had the Patriot on there. Ledger's also in that. I had the Dark Knight, right? That's the one he's the Joker in, right? Like,
yeah.
Incredible. I just realized that most of my top movies, he's an actor in. And so, like, number one always has been since it came out.
I like in Knight's Tale. I like Alan Tudyk's character. He's the redhead guy. It's like Watt or it's W-A-T.
Yeah. He's the redheaded guy, right?
Yeah.
He's also Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball.
He's also
he's a lot of things.
He's a Heihei in Moana for some reason. He's also the voice of K2SO in Rogue One.
Yeah. For any of you
Firefly fans.
Yes. He's got a pull through his heart. But yeah.
That's Serenity. That's Serenity.
Like a leaf on the wind? What is it? Like a leaf on the wind?
I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
Yeah, Firefly was awesome.
I have a shirt with that. I should have worn that.
I was going to say my favorite Alan Tudyk role was Heihei from Moana, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Garrett, you're number one.
All right. My number one, guys, is a Christmas classic. It is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Every year on Christmas, I have to watch this movie. Cousin Eddie, it is everyone's family around Christmas time. They're crazy. They get to see family members. You get to see family members that you just don't see very often. And Chevy Chase is hilarious in this. This is like my all-time favorite movie because I always have to watch this movie on Christmas, and it's such a good feel-good movie too. So, it's an awesome movie.
She's a beaut, Clark.
Shitter's full.
All right, my number one all-time favorite movie is none other than the Quentin Tarantino classic, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
Wow, mother lover. Yes, I.
And I do love your mom, so.
Yeah, still. And I love your mom. Anyways, this movie has got everything you need in a movie. It's got John Travolta. This is John Travolta's best movie. And that's coming. That's saying even better than Saturday Night Fever.
What, not Hairspray?
That was terrible. listen, John Travolta in Pulp Fiction is John Travolta in his prime. It's the best John Travolta, probably next to Swordfish, because that was a good one. Or Face Off. That was also another really good one. And then you've got Samuel Jackson and all of his iconic lines in that movie, most of them dealing with the MF-er word. Oh my gosh. It's Quentin Tarantino's finest film that he's ever done and probably ever will do. That is his crowning achievement, if I say so myself. Because it's just action packed. It's got oh my god, I just had his name in my head. Oh shit.
Bruce Willis?
Thank you. Bruce Willis. It's got Bruce Willis. It's got Samuel Jackson. It's got John Travolta. It's got Uma Thurman. It's got, oh my gosh, what is that other guy's name? Oh no.
Tim anyway. Roth.
Yes. Him too. I mean, he's pretty. I love that movie. I love that movie beyond belief. I can watch that movie on repeat. Last year I had a surprise Quentin Tarantino birthday party, and it was Pulp Fiction themed. Like, was the main Tarantino part of it. And it was great. I even had friends dress up like the people who were robbing the restaurant. It was great. It was fantastic. And then it was right after this man, Garrett, took me to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So probably one of the best birthdays I had was last year's.
Yep, it was fun. It's hard to keep you busy for like 8 hours, like 6 hours, but yeah.
So my wife just took forever to get ready. Anyways, all right, so it looks like we've got a couple questions that we usually ask all of our guests on here, depending on time.
We can, let's ask one question, because we're about an hour 40 in, so.
What's your favorite power?
Yeah, let's do a superpower. What is, but we're doing superpowers. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
My superpower would be to always have exact change in my pocket.
That's a pretty cool superpower.
Exact change, man.
I'll have this plane. How much is it? Here you go. Exact change to the penny.
That's like the worst superhero name ever. Exact change, man. I've got the exact change for everything I need.
No, he'd just be called Coin Purse.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Coin Purse. I love that.
That's a good name. That's good. Cool.
Name's Coin Purse. What do you need? End world hunger? Here it is. Exact chain.
Exactly. There you go.
I would never need a Miss America pageant ever again.
No, I'd probably be one of those like, well, you have the money, but where did it come from? Devil's advocate thing or whatever. Gift of the Magi? No, that's not right.
I got it gifted to me by an Arabian prince. Mm. All right. Mr. Nick, your superpower.
Superpower. So many good ones. I would have to go with telepathy.
Ooh. Telepathy?
Use it for evil.
Just so useful.
Got it.
Probably, so useful.
Probably.
Put it past us.
I would become Doc's. The evil bard.
Yeah, you would come and kill us all, yes.
Be good for playing poker, I think. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. You can get fast money. Moves.
Mr. James! You're super.
I would get the power to influence emotions.
Influence what?
Just not like emotions. Yeah, not like to control people, but just so like have like a radius around me where like if anybody was within my radius, I could be like, you're feeling positive right now.
So you're a mood ring. So you're a mood ring is what you are.
Basically,
you'd be called emo kid.
There's some substances sure. For that.
The aura.
I like that one.
Trenton, what's yours?
Flight. Because I've always wanted to be like a bird and fly. I could care less about getting places faster. I just want to be able to see it all. And like Superman has always been like a really cool superhero for me, and his power of flight, one of the coolest things ever. Always wanted to do that. Speaking of which, did you get to that part in Avatar or Korra yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
I was very vague about it.
Mine would be teleportation.
Nightcrawler?
Yeah, or jumper, kind of.
Now, do you have to be able to see where you're going in order to get to that?
That's what I was saying, like kind of like jumper, where you kind of have to see something to be able to get to it. So like he had like postcards he could use to travel to other places.
That was a good movie.
Yes, it was. It was a underrated movie for Hayden Christensen, for sure. All right, guys. Right.
What a freaking podcast. That was awesome.
It's a good comeback.
Well, great comeback. Comeback story of the year. That's what this title should be called instead of top five. Should be best comeback of 2020.
Sure, we'll go with that.
No, we'll do top five favorite movies, and then in parentheses, best comeback of 2020.
There you go. That works.
All right. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at criticallyawesome@2015@gmail.com. That's where you can email us if you want to be a part of the show. You can also get a hold of us on all of our social medias like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Also, for all things Critically Awesome, go to criticallyawesome.net. You can go there. You can donate to our pages. You can even get cool merch like this t-shirt that you can't see. Sorry, that's something I do during the stream. I stand up, I'm like, check out this t-shirt. It's cool. Go to criticallyawesome.net. Go to the merch section. You can also donate to Garrett's Pedal the Cause there. On there, you can also become a Patreon of Critically Awesome. It's a one-stop shop for all things Critically Awesome. Garrett, where can they hear us at?
So, for your listening pleasure to your ear holes, you can find us on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. So please make sure to go subscribe, rate, review the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps.
We really want to thank our guest tonight here. It was really awesome. Mr. James, Nick, and Josh. It was such a pleasure of you guys being here. Had a bunch of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It was great having you guys on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I feel like you get to know someone real well when you discuss movies.
Yes.
So I tried doing that one time because I was like, hey, that's a great icebreaker. I've been trying to get be friendly to one of my coworkers for a long time, the entire time I've been employed there. So I was like, hey, you, what's your favorite movie? I don't watch movies. And she walked away. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to be, I'm trying to make progress. But anyways. You say that, but there are some people you just can't get through to. Anyways, Garrett, go ahead and close us out.
All right, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. And I'm Garrett, and I'm Critically Awesome.
And I'm Trent, and I'm Critically Awesome. And remember, guys, stay awesome. Bye!